T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock today. We're going to get back into talking about our Padres. I don't know how many of you actually get the paper. I get the paper, and a lot of you may go online. I think if you're 40 or younger, you pretty much go online now. I can't even imagine my daughter, my two daughters, in fact, going up and, paying their $1.50 or $2 to buy a paper. I can't remember the last time they probably did that. They all go online. But today, some interesting stuff. If you really paid attention, and I know, I read the box scores. I want to know the little notes, who's hurt and who's working out and who's doing this, who's doing that. But some interesting comments today in the paper by Kevin Acey from some Padre players. And here's one from Kirby Yates. I guess I got Heath Bell because Kirby Yates is pitching like Heath Bell did there for a couple of years for the Padres. But anyways, this is a quote from Kirby Yates. You can't have one foot in if you're going to try to win. That's what Kirby had to say. You can't have one foot in and expect everything to turn out good. This is the toughest league in the world. It's not easy to win Major League Baseball games. You need all your bullets. You need all your studs. That's just how it is. And then he goes on to state, quote, there have been a lot of spurts in the season where we've been really good. We ran into a really rough month in July. That's the month they went 8-16. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to recover. That's the tough thing about a big league season. You have to play 6 months. You have to play 162 games. And you have to try to play 162 good baseball games. You can't take weeks off. You can't take a month off. The good teams don't do that. Very well said. But why did they have a tough July? Well, let's remember, the Padres were 45-45 at the All-Star break. And, now you take a look and you're going, man, are they going to, finish 10 games under 500 or 15 games under 500? I mean, they're struggling right now. I mean, you talk about a ball club right now that is limping to the finish line. It's our San Diego Padres. With the loss last night, they're now 11 games under 500. They got three more against the Cubbies, and then they got to go to Colorado, and then they're going to be coming home. They got the Dodgers, here for three games to kind of close out the season at the end of the month, and then they go over to Arizona and finish the season, I think it is. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you on the Padres right now. The last couple of weeks been very disappointing. I mean, a lot of blowouts. That was a blowout last night. After the fifth inning, that game's over. That game's totally over last night. I don't know. And then you look at Quantrill, and I'm saying, like I said earlier, I disagree with Andy Green. I think they need to either shut him down completely or let him pitch out of the bullpen. I mean, if you missed it earlier, we read some stats on Quantrill. I mean, they're off the chart, but just in his last three starts, Cal Quantrill, his last three starts has gone only 13 2/3 innings. But in those 13 2/3 innings, he's been cuffed around awful hard. 28 hits, 24 earned runs, given up 4 home runs. 24 earned runs in his last three starts. I mean, how can you run him out there? The kid's not right. There's something wrong. He's not hurt, but he's not hitting his spots. And I brought up earlier, I think maybe just physically hit a wall. 130 2/3 innings this year. 95 at the big league level, 35 2/3 in El Paso. He's never pitched this much in his life. And 2 years ago, he was coming off of Tommy John surgery. You know what? Shut him down or let him pitch a couple innings out of the bullpen going forward. Now Paddock's throwing tomorrow night. I'm going to the game tomorrow night. Going to be a good matchup. Cole Hamels, a kid I saw pitch in high school, going for the Cubbies. He's had a pretty nice year. I know he spent some time on the disabled list, but that's been kind of his deal the last few years. Pitched a long time in the big leagues, a lot of big league innings. But Cole Hamels pitched tomorrow night against Chris Paddock. That's going to be by far the best matchup of the entire series. And good tickets still available, by the way, for Padre fans, not Cub fans. I don't want the Cub fans there tomorrow night. They're killing us. Cub fans took over Petco Park last night. And I want to get out to the phones about that. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Kyle in Poway, you're on with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. Kyle, how are you today?
Good, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Did you go to the game last night?
I did. I did go to the game last night.
A lot of Cub blue there, huh?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful anymore. You know, it's the same thing when you go to the Dodgers, see the Giants. It's just you're outnumbered 3 or 4 to 1 anymore.
Yeah, that game last night was over, it seemed like, before it ever got started. Cubs jumped right on Quantrill, and even though the Padres cut it to 3-2, they next inning, Schwarber, boom, a home run. I can't believe Schwarber's got 35 home runs, but then they just, you know, they went to work on Quantrill, and before you knew it, he was out of the ball game.
It's tough because we're throwing a AAA or 4A team out there against a team that's hungry and trying to make their way to the playoffs. And we really don't have a chance. I'm really down on, you look at the lineup, the 7, 8, and 9 hitters, we're 180, 180, 0, 7, 8. They're giving up 3 outs every time through the order. I don't understand what the organization's philosophy is. There's still people paying to go see the game. They want to see a quality product, and it's just not there right now.
Well, you know, you take a look at it. You talk about people coming to the ballpark. I know the attendance wasn't great last night. It was still pretty good, but right now they're just under, I believe, averaging just under 4,000 more a game this year than they did a year ago. Hey, you know what? I got to be honest with you, Kyle. The Padre fans have always been loyal to this franchise. They've been extremely patient. I understand when people get hot and bothered about what direction this team's going. Hey, you can have the greatest farm system in the history of baseball, but if these guys can't get it done at the big league level, you're just going to have a lot of minor league championship ball clubs, I guess.
I know. And, you know, all the other teams have good young players, too. That's like kind of what we forget. You look at the Dodgers, they're young, and they're good. They're not much older than we are, you know, aside from a couple pitchers.
I agree with that. Hey, Kyle, good to hear from you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that as well. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Coach. Go Padres.
And by the way, Gavin Lux, that great talented player down there with the Dodgers, named the Minor League Baseball Player of the Year. And, of course, last week we mentioned our guy, Mackenzie Gore, MLB Pipeline Pitcher of the Year in all of minor league baseball. And, again, hopefully he and Luis Patino are going to be able to take that next step. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Chris in Claremont, you're next up with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Fantastic, Coach. How are you?
Doing great. Fun Tuesday. Having a good time.
All right.
What you got for me today?
So you were asking about folks who were at the game last night. You were asking about Nico Horner.
Yeah.
So, one, I think the kid's going to replace Addison Russell. Like, I think Addison Russell is going to be out of Chicago by next year.
Yeah, I would think so. With all the off-field issues, the domestic violence, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised the Cubs have kept him around this long. Maybe they didn't want to release him, but maybe they'll move him during the off-season. But I'm real surprised, especially coming off that suspension. I thought they'd cut bait with him.
Yeah, and it's always heavy Chicago when the Cubs come to town, but it felt like we may as well have been at Wrigley last night. It was crazy. Every time that kid came to the plate, made a play in the field, place was going crazy, screaming Nico. It was nuts.
Yeah, can you imagine that kid's at home laying on his couch watching, TV, thinking he's going to, in another week or two to the Arizona Fall League, and all of a sudden they call him up, said, hey, you're coming to the big leagues. He probably couldn't get to San Diego fast enough, huh?
Oh, I'm sure, and just the fact, yesterday's first game and be away from home and have that many folks realize, I'm surrounded by Cubs fans, and every one of them knew, I didn't know you just got called up yesterday until somebody said it, and I started looking the kid up, and next thing you know, he's three for four and drove in three runs, scored twice.
It was amazing. The thing about Nico Horner, he was drafted a year ago. He was taken in the 2018 draft. And he's here in the big leagues, and he's already producing. Now, you can say, they don't have the scouting report on him, whatever. Hey, you throw the ball over the plate, you hit good spots, guys aren't going to go 3 for 5 with a triple and 4 RBIs. Give that kid a lot of credit. In fact, I was telling Adam during the break, you know, I was talking about Horner as we went to the top of the hour. All of a sudden, the CBS update guy is talking about Nico Horner. We made him a national guy today because of what he did here in San Diego last night. And, you know, we'll see where his career goes, but, you know, he's very well thought of player. And, you know, they wouldn't have gone down to double A to bring him up because they needed him because of Baez's injury and Russell's injury. And, you know, if they were to get to the playoffs, they would actually be able to add him if they wanted to the playoff roster. But, hey, Chris, thanks so much for the phone call. Good to hear from you.
You too, Coach. Have a good one.
All right. I appreciate that phone call a great deal. Always love taking phone calls. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll step aside when we come back. Kevin in San Diego, we're going to get to your phone call, and we'll get to them all. Reminder, coming up at 2:35, we're going to talk Aztec football. Do we have Aztec football fans out there? Or are you still gloating over that big win at the Rose Bowl on Saturday against UCLA? Want to hear from you as well. Coach John Katera going to 3, and Gwen and Chris today right here on 97.3 The Fan. 2:20 the time on a Tuesday. This is going to be a quick week. It's going to be a quick week. Before you know it, tomorrow we got Hump Day. And by the way, a couple of great guests scheduled now. You never know what we're going to drag in, okay? But tomorrow, 12:35, we're going to have Bob Stoops, the former great coach at Oklahoma. I wonder why he quit. I wonder why he walked away. I mean, all of a sudden, he was just gone. They had a press conference. He's no longer the coach at Oklahoma. And they bring in Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley, last 2 years, has had guys that have won the Heisman Trophy. Could Jalen Hurts be the third? I don't know. Adam, you got something to say on that? I could tell you're a college football guy.
I want to get his kind of instant reaction to what he's seen just in week one from Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray in the pros.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma Sooners will be up at the Rose Bowl this weekend to take on UCLA. Can you imagine what's going on at UCLA right now? After losing to San Diego State, now they've got Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts coming in, and that offense is flat out rolling. Let's get back to the phones. Again, you want to dial me up, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's head out to San Diego. Kevin, you're next up with Coach John Katera on 97.3 The Fan. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, really well, Coach. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for making it.
Padres are going to go on a hot streak. Start Jankowski to lead it off. He's hungry to play and willing to prove. Garcia, Hosmer, Machado, Myers, Renfro. The big studs in our lineup, when they see those guys on base, they're going to knock them in. Shut down Quantrill. Don't play him the rest of the year. You'll wreck his confidence. And give a start to Perdomo. And that's my Monday morning quarterback backseat view on everything. Oh, yeah, and at the end of the year, trade or release Hedges. He can't hit in the major leagues.
Hey, Kevin, let
That's
me ask
my call, Coach.
Well, I want to ask you a question real quick here. Jankowski, he seems to be like the forgotten guy on this ball club right now. They're not giving him very many opportunities.
Well, the last couple of years, the Padres were not good. And, like, Jankowski would be on base, and we were hoping that, you know, miracle guys could hit him in. But he'll get on base, he'll walk, he'll steal second. And now we got Garcia figures out a way to get on base. Hosmer knocks in people with a double every time. Rashad would love to see some guys on base. Myers can hit if we play him every day. I'm like, give Jankowski the chance. It's like Little League now. Everybody's getting a chance. You don't even know who these guys are. We pick up somebody released from Oakland. Really? Just get Jankowski in there. If he can't do it in the next 20 days, then give him a chance someplace else.
Yeah, very well put.
Getting a chance, put Jankowski in.
That's very well put, Kevin. I appreciate the phone call. You have a great day, my friend.
Thank you. Go, Coach.
All right, appreciate that. Nick Martini, I got to say, the guy's doing a pretty good job. He gives you some pretty good at-bats. He's not an easy out at the plate. He's not an easy out at all. And last night, 3 for 5, did score a run. But like I said, when I look at ball players, and again, I'm trying to think with the Padres, and I'm seeing a completely different thing right now than the Padres. I'm looking at positions going, can I win a division title with this guy? And obviously on the left side of the infield, Manny Machado and a healthy Fernando Tatis Jr., yeah, I can win a division title with those guys. at first base. Can I win a division title with Eric Hosmer? Absolutely. He's been a part of two World Series teams and one World Series champion. No question. He's having a really good year. You know, I'm still amazed that people haven't called in and given Hosmer some props. You know, we sit here as a talk show host and as fans, and we always look at the glass half empty. But I look at it as half full. And I'm thankful for Eric Hosmer because he's a good guy. It's like we were talking in the first hour of the program today, Will Myers is starting to come around. And you pull for a guy like Will Myers. Will Myers is a good guy. I mean, he signs autographs for kids. Not that that means he's a great guy. But there are a lot of ball players that don't want to sign autographs in this day and age. And Will Myers, I'm going to tell you something about Will. Will will stand out there until the last little youngster gets his autograph or until he gets pulled away by the team or security to go in for a meeting or whatever. But Will Myers is great with the kids. And, guys like that, it's easy to pull for. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. And I got to still tell you my Ryan Leaf story today. But I'm going to tell you a quick story about when I was a kid and I went to a Padre game. And Biff Pocaroba, he was a catcher for the Atlanta Braves. And I used to go down and sit right over the third base dugout at old Jack Murphy Stadium. In those days, it was San Diego Stadium. And I was a catcher as a kid growing up, and I always wanted to look at, catcher's gloves. Gary Carter let me look at his glove. Bob Barton, who caught for the Padres, and Bob unfortunately passed away here a few years ago, and let me look at his glove. So I asked Biff Pocaroba, and I was always very friendly and kind and considerate, but he really ticked me off one night. He was a backup catcher for the Atlanta Braves, Biff Pocaroba. You can look him up. And he's playing catch out in front of the dugout, and he gets done. He's walking in the dugout, and I go, Mr. Pocaroba, I go, could I take a look at your glove? And he made some snide remark, and I was about 16 years old at the time. And I go, well, now I know why you're a backup catcher. And, boy, he didn't like that. But anyways, I want to tell you the Ryan Leaf story. And, again, we had Ryan Leaf on at 12:35 today. Go to our website, 973thefansd.com, and you can listen to that. But when Ryan Leaf got drafted by the Chargers, I was on in drive time one afternoon. And I was fortunate enough, Bill Johnson, who now works for the Padres, was the PR guy for so many years with the Chargers. And he got him on. And even though Ryan Leaf was not signed at the time, he was not signed with the Chargers. So I get Ryan on. And I'm interviewing him. We're going back and forth. And I said to Ryan, I go, Ryan, where are you at on this contract? And he goes, oh, we've agreed to it in principle. And, we're going to have an announcement here shortly. So, the interview goes on for another few minutes. I go to a break and boom, the phone rings. It's the Chargers. They go, what did Ryan Leaf tell you? And I go, he said the contract's pretty much done. And they're just waiting to, sign the contract. And you guys call a press conference. He goes, can you send the tape over? Because we're nowhere near ready to sign him right now. We're not even close. And so, that was the beginning of Ryan Leaf before he ever signed his contract. And now 21 years later, he's going to be getting married. He's had a child. He's got a little boy right now. And he's come full circle. Spent some time in jail, 32 months in jail. Burglary, an addict, and now it's really cool. I feel good today because I knew him when he was Ryan Leaf, the Charger quarterback. I saw him, as I mentioned in the interview, in 2012, and he gave me a big hug. Coach, how you doing? And then a few months later, boom, he was in a lot of trouble again. So, it's good, and you just pray for a guy like that he's going to be able to, walk the straight and narrow and live a very nice and prosperous life and raise his family the way you and I raise our family. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. I want to get to more phone calls today on the program, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Adam.
Coach, I don't know if you want to consider this breaking news or not, but Rob Gronkowski, 20 minutes ago, tweeted eyeball emojis.
Really?
That's it. Just eyeball emojis. But everybody is speculating that's basically himself announcing that he's unretiring.
Well,
this is not official unretirement, but it's speculation based on him tweeting eyeball emojis.
Now, he was at the game the other night, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, did you see him Yeah, I mean, he looks really, really light. I can't imagine him coming back and play right now.
He's lost a lot of weight. He said recently, you know, when he was making the rounds, when he was talking about his new CBD product, you know, he made those comments that went kind of national recently about feeling better since leaving the game. And
right.
He looked really thin, but he said he was physically able to play.
Well, you got to wonder, you know, you get caught up in the emotion of being down around the team, the sidelines. But, boy, for him to come back, it's going to take a few weeks, I think, because he looks more like a wide receiver now than he does a tight end. There's no question about that. We're going to work our way towards the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk Aztec football. And, boy, once again, Aztec's not going to be on TV this week. That's troubling. Their first game was on Facebook. Last week they were on the Pac-12 network. This week they're on some streaming somewhere out. And
no,
I better call my kids. They're going to have to help me find where the heck that game is on Saturday night. But they're taking on New Mexico State. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the man who covers the Aztecs daily for the Union Tribune, Kirk Kenny. Then we'll get to our Hanging Star of the Play, a Hanging Star Play of the Day. And want to get to more of your phone calls before we get to Gwen and Chris before the top of the hour. Coach John Cantara, we're going until 3 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. 2:35 the time. Coach John Cantara with you into the top of the hour. And again, tomorrow, we've got the two Bobs on tomorrow. We've got Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma head coach, going to join us tomorrow at 12:35. In the 1 o'clock hour, my buddy Bob Scanlon will talk baseball tomorrow with Scanman. So make a note of that. Bob Stoops tomorrow at 12:35. Bob Scanlon in the 1 o'clock hour. Let's head out right now. I'm sure he's at San Diego State. I'm sure he was at Rocky Long's press conference today. Our friend from the Union Tribune, who does an incredible job, Kirk Kenny, joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Kirk, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing really well. And I want to get to Rocky's press conference here in a minute, but I want to go back to Saturday because, you know, I'm sitting in my living room. I was so excited. I mean, you're a San Diego State alum, correct?
Yes, I am.
How excited, even though you're a professional, how excited were you, though, that San Diego State finally beat UCLA?
Well, I think it's always fun to be at a game that has historic implications. And for San Diego State fans, that definitely did after playing them 22 times without a win. Getting that one on Saturday was pretty big to San Diego State players, coaches, and fans.
What was it like down in the locker room when you went down there to get quotes and all that after the game?
Well, we're not actually in the locker room. They bring the players to us. But as you're walking through, you can see a lot of the players pretty excited, a lot of smiles on people's faces, obviously. And you could see it in the Ryan Agnew and some of the others when they stepped up to the podium to talk about it. You know, they're just pretty excited about the whole thing.
You know, Kirk, last week, you know, I had Jeff Horton on, you know, a few days before the Weber State game. And, you know, he's been here. The guy's been coaching for 35 years in college football, and they have a real stinker of an offensive performance in the first game of the year against Weber State, and they win the game 6-0. And people, like, were going crazy. I mean, they wanted to fire him. They wanted to fire other offensive coaches. And then they come out, looked like a totally different team on Saturday. I mean, it was amazing. And Agnew throwing for a career high in yardage, and these wide receivers that we didn't even know their names the week before all of a sudden became stars.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to watch. I think if you could bottle what it is that all of a sudden just clicks, you'd be able to retire next week. I watch these guys practice all the time, and these receivers are working hard, and they just show all the ability in practice that looks like they could be successful to finally see it on the field. You know, everybody had been waiting, where is that? And finally they showed it Saturday, and now they know they can do it.
Well, and I'm going to give you credit because a couple of weeks ago I was at a Padre game, and you were up there getting your dinner, and I was getting a Coke or a cup of coffee or something. I go, how good are they going to be? You go, I think they're going to be okay. And, you know, and okay in our business means they're going to be pretty good. And right now, I mean, coming off of that win, and the thing that's encouraging, not only the offense get it done, but another solid effort by the defense.
Yeah, I think the defense, the biggest questions have been at the defensive line. But I think with the defense they run, they get a lot of help from the linebackers. And I'm also impressed this year with the secondary. The last couple of years, they've given up a lot of big plays deep, or in the passing game itself, especially early in the season. And this year, the secondary seems to really be stepping up as well.
We're visiting with Kirk Kenny. He covers the Aztecs for the Union Tribune. You've been reading his writings for a long period of time. Great to have him on the program. Let's get to Rocky's press conference today. I know a lot of people were kind of waiting to see what Rocky would have to say today. Well, how did it go?
It went well. It's funny when everybody wants to talk about the big win, but I think what's interesting is the fans will still be several days, weeks, and I'm sure years, and yet the players and coaches themselves, I think they enjoyed on the bus ride home, maybe a few hours after that, and then it's like their focus is already on to the next game this week against New Mexico State. So, you know, he talks about it and this and that, but it's like he's already moved on.
Hey, Kirk, did they get out of that game on Saturday fairly healthy?
For the most part, they have a sophomore defensive end, Keyshawn Banks, that got a hip pointer, so he missed practice yesterday. But I have a feeling, especially knowing that he's from New Mexico, that he'll be in the lineup on Saturday.
Where's Juwan Washington health-wise right now?
They say he's at less than 100%, but I think he'll be better as the week goes on, and I would not be surprised if he's still on the field. The only question might be is if they think he'd be better off sitting a week out. They're so deep at running back, I think they could probably afford that. You know, so they'll decide, you know, would it be better for him to miss one game and be really healthy rather than have more of a setback by just keep going with it?
You know, Ryan Agnew, I said yesterday when I came on the air, he paid for his scholarship on Saturday by having a record performance throwing the football and taking down UCLA. I mean, that was a Ryan Agnew I had not seen.
I don't think anybody had seen that Ryan Agnew, and I'm sure San Diego State fans were very pleased to see that one emerge. And I don't know. I mean, do you put it on the offensive line doing a little bit better? Agnew just having a little more pocket presence, his receivers making big catches. But all of that came together Saturday, and I think it gave them a lot of encouragement that, hey, they can do this.
Hey, Kirk, is Rocky concerned at all right now about the run game? I mean, they ran the ball and they controlled the clock, which was great. They had it for over 38 minutes, but 47 carries the other day for only 80 yards. That has to be, I would think, some kind of concern.
Well, I think he pinned a lot of it on just the offensive line blocking better for the run. You know, they're in this transition to the spread where I don't know that they have their true identity established yet, and running has been their identity for several years, so we'll see where that goes. I think he's not happy, obviously, with where the run game stands right now, but I don't know that he's concerned about it. It reminds me of about 2015 when they started 1-3, and it looked like they couldn't get out of their own way, and they had DJ Pumphrey in the backfield, who became the NCAA's career rushing leader, and yet that season he couldn't do anything until the offensive line kind of got its game together.
Kirk Kenya, the Union Tribune, joining us, talking Aztec football here on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, give me the scouting report on the sophomore wide receiver, number 92, Kobe Smith. 7 catches, 131 yards, a touchdown last year. As a freshman, he had 9 catches the entire year. Number 92, he looked great the other day.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch going forward. He was one of those guys that got pressed into service last year as a true freshman, got his feet wet. But obviously, you know, their game is different now with the spread. He had a breakout performance in the spring game, but he'd been kind of quiet during fall practice. So for him to establish himself the way he did Saturday was pretty encouraging.
What did Rocky say today, Kirk, about New Mexico State? I mean, New Mexico State has played 2 very difficult games. They got blown out by Washington State 58-7, and last week they were down there in Tuscaloosa taking on Alabama, getting beat 62-10, and I would imagine they probably got some bumps and bruises, but they're going to have a home game this week. What did Rocky say about the Aggies?
Yeah, Rocky talked about this is their home opener, and so he's sure that they'll be fired up playing a team that's more their caliber than the two that they played. And I wrote about it in today's paper. What's too bad in their situation is their athletic department is financially strapped, and so they've had to go play some of these payday games. They've got one more against Ole Miss, which between those 3 games this year, they're going to take in $3.8 million to help offset some of the deficit in their athletic department. But the football team's kind of taking it on the chin for the entire athletic department.
Hey, Kirk, after the first few weeks of the college football season, when you look at the Mountain West Conference, who's impressed you and who's maybe disappointed you thought maybe would do a little bit better early in the year?
I think most impressive has been Hawaii. and they've been a team kind of on the come the last 2 years. And so I think they've been the biggest team to step up this season. But the conference overall, I think, has been pretty impressive with the way it's been able to do in its game against Power 5 teams. As far as any team that's maybe disappointed, one game over the weekend, Nevada got beaten big by Oregon, I think something like 56-7. So I'll be interested to see if that's a game that just was an anomaly, or is that something that portends bad things to come for them.
Yeah, Fresno State's off to a 0-2 start, but I think they got a pretty good ball club. I was actually impressed when I watched them play SC in game one. I think they're going to be a tough team as the season goes on.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of those 0-2s that does not say anything at all about what that team actually is.
You know, I wanted to ask you one last question, and I'll let you get out of here. You know, I think it was such a big win. Everybody was so excited, and I could tell you yesterday when I came on the air, because in the first half hour I had five Aztec phone calls, and, you know, people, is like you said, they're going to be talking about this for weeks, and, you know, hopefully the Aztecs go down there, they play a great game against New Mexico State, get that game over and get out of it healthy, because the following Saturday on the 21st, they got a good Utah State team coming in. Rocky, talk at all, because there had to be a question about, you know, the typical question the media would ask: are you concerned about a letdown this week?
That didn't come up today, but it did the other day, and I think he did address that they better show the maturity to not keep dwelling on that game, because they're going to face a team that, you know, plays a style offense that with the air raid stuff that can really give them some challenges. So, you know, don't get too caught up in what went on. And he's confident, I think, that they do have the maturity to look ahead and be prepared.
Hey, last thing I'm going to ask you, because I brought it up earlier. You know, the first game I watched on Facebook Live. Last week it was on the Pac-12 network. I watched that. This week, and I read your article this morning, it's on the floorfootball.com subscription streaming. I can't believe that somebody couldn't get this game locally on television. I mean, this is another thing that hurts Aztec football and in the Mountain West Conference, where we can't get a game on television.
I agree, and I hope that they're, because they're going through negotiations right now for their next TV contract, and in fact, the first five San Diego State games this year are on five different platforms.
Oof.
And now they don't have control over away games, so that's, they're kind of at the mercy of that. And I think there might be a slight chance it could still somehow find a way onto TV, but I'm not going to go there right now, because I don't know if there's enough of a chance to bring it up more than I just did. But yeah, it's funny that in this day and age, it takes more work for a viewer to go find a game than it did when, you know, just flick it on and it's either on 6, 8, or 10.
No question about that. Well, hey, safe travels to La Cruces, and we always appreciate you coming on the program.
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Kirk Kenny from the Union Tribune. Yeah, it's on Floor, F-L-O, or flowfootball.com, flowfootball.com, a subscription streaming to get the Aztec game this week. That's crazy. I mean, we're in the 21st century. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that we can't watch our home Division I football team on a local television. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. If there's a local TV station and we could do it, I'll go over there and be a part of the broadcast team, and we'll go over there and bring it back to San Diego for the San Diego fans. That's the way I look at it. I want to get back to phone calls. You're out there, like to talk Aztec football, you want to talk Padres, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I see Chris Ello here. I got to get him in studio. I want to get his thoughts on Nico Horner in that Padre game last night. We'll get to Chris hopefully here in a crossover momentarily, but right now, something we do each and every day, the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby!
A 97.3 The Fan.
Spot and holder down, the kick is up. It's good! 58 yards, Will Lutz with the game winner! Saints win it, 30-28.
That was the Hang a Star Play of the Day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Will Lutz right down Broadway last night. That would have been good from 68 yards. He even hit the net behind the the goalpost. I mean, it was awesome. What a win for the New Orleans Saints, 30-28 over Houston. A devastating loss, though, for Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. And if I'm the defensive coordinator today, I got to be feeling not so good because you can't play those defensive backs that far off, even though there were only 37 seconds to go. But you can't give Drew Brees that kind of a soft outside along with a timeout still being available. So a great win for New Orleans. They're 1-0. Houston, obviously.
Studio
by Chris Ella, who was down at the ball game last night doing the pre- and post-game show.
No, I'm actually the new defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. They just fired Romeo Crennel.
Did they?
No, but they should.
They should fire Romeo Crennel. I don't know if anybody heard me there. But I heard you, and I'm blown away by how stupid these NFL teams are. Week after week after week. This isn't the first time.
And they spend all these hours of preparation.
This isn't the first time a team has allowed another team to drive 50 yards in 12 seconds to kick a game-winning field goal.
I know. It happens all the time.
It's about the 100th time that it's happened, and you almost got the sense that as soon as New Orleans was stupid enough to let Houston go right down the field 80 yards in two plays, that Houston would return the favor, and they did. So there you go.
Well, like you and I and a lot of other people have been saying for many, many years, the prevent defense prevents you from winning.
That's what it does time and again, and these coaches keep getting raises. And I tell you one thing, Romeo Crennel is – I mean, you mentioned that, right? Used to coach the Patriots, and then, I mean, it was a defensive coordinator for Belichick and head coach in the NFL. I mean, this is that's the guy who is calling the defense right there. And he knows more than you and I put together, or so he thinks, but I don't think he knows more than me.
I don't know. I'd like to know what the conversation was like when they went into the locker room after getting beat.
So stupid. Just so stupid. But, you know, that's that. They deserved for Will Lutz to make that kick by giving them the opportunity.
And he hammered it, didn't he?
He did. No question.
All right, let's jump over to the Padres here for a minute. You were down there last night. Cal Quantrill, I've read his numbers. I mean, the last three starts, beyond belief. I mean, he's getting cuffed around all over the place right now, Chris. I'll personally, and I said earlier, Andy Green said, oh, he's not tired, he's not this, he's not that. I think you shut the guy down. If you don't shut him down, at least just let him pitch out of the bullpen. Let him have a couple of good innings. If he can get through a couple of good innings, let him get to the offseason. Because last three starts right now, 13 and two-thirds innings, 28 hits, 24 earned runs, 4 home runs.
He's playing crazy eights right now. He's giving up 8 runs in 3 straight games. That's
unbelievable.
It's the wrong game to be playing.
He's a better pitcher than that.
I think he's better than that. You know, look, they could start him one more time and, you know, see what happens over 5 innings and hope that he gets it together a little bit. It does. I will say this, you know, every inherited runner that he has left has come in to score after he's left the game, and that hasn't helped his cause any, but you know, the thing that stood out to me last night at the Padre Cub game or the Cub game that I went to that there were a few Padre fans in attendance at was the play of the shortstop of the Cubs. I mean, this kid, Nick Horner, I mean, or Nico Horner, sorry.
Out of Stanford.
Well, come on. From what I was told, Coach, and you know these things a little better than I do, you follow this stuff, that he was like a double-A ball player that was basically sent home for the winter. They
right.
basically said, your season's over. We don't need you anymore.
You're supposed to go to the Arizona Fall League here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then they get all their shortstops injured at the big league level. Then they get rid of they lose another guy at the triple-A level or whatever. I mean, so they're going that deep into their organization, and the kid comes up and gets 3 hits and 4 RBIs in his first game. When is a Padre going to do that? I know that it's one game, and I shouldn't overreact to one game, but you know what? I'm going to overreact to one game. When is a Padre player going to come out of nowhere and do that one time?
We have Nick Martini.
We have the best farm system in the history of baseball. At least that's what people tell us. I don't know. I thought it was pretty impressive. That was a pretty great performance. Not only that, he made a great defensive play early in the game.
Yeah, he did.
Spinning 360 throw behind second base. So, you know, these kids for other teams come up. They're ready to play. These kids for the Padres come up, and every single time we hear the same thing. Well, give them a little time to settle in.
Right.
Well, what's the difference? Why are the guys on all these other rosters able to come in and immediately contribute? I don't get it.
I 100% agree with you on that. What do you got on the show today?
We're going to talk NFL today, Bleacher Report guest, and just kind of run back over week one of the NFL. And I'm sure we'll make a lot of fun of Romeo Crennel and Joe Flacco and some of the really lousy performances that we saw in the NFL last night. Denver looked terrible. Joe Flacco looks like he's about 50 years old to me. And I think John Elway, honestly, is not long for that job in Denver.
I was going to ask you about
that. I really don't think that he's – I just don't know that either his heart's not in it or his decision-making is just that bad. But, you know
– can't find a quarterback.
Well, you take Peyton Manning away from him, and all of a sudden John Elway doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. And that's happened to a lot of guys. So,
well,
we'll see.
I appreciate you coming in. Have a great show, and I'll be listening.
We'll be ready.
All right, let's duck in another quick call before we get out of here again. Tomorrow we got Bob Stoops, Bob Scanlon on the program, the former great Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. He'll join me at 12:35. Let's get out to Ronnie in San Diego. Ronnie, how you doing today, my friend? Welcome to 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks. Thanks for taking me, Coach. I just have a question regarding Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Do you think that the public has just lost taste in the NFL? I feel very upset with the NFL, and it doesn't seem like it matters anymore after just what just happened.
Well, with Ronnie Brown or with Antonio Brown about the way he kind of found his way to New England?
Yeah, it just seems really, really bad. And
it is, but you know what? There's so many things to talk about on that issue. I mean, it cost Oakland a couple of draft picks. You know, he did everything possible to get himself thrown out of there, and he did, and he got his contract voided. What was amazing to me, and nobody's really – I think Chris talked about it a little bit yesterday on his show, and I briefly touched on it yesterday, but how quickly New England reacted and had this deal in place. I mean, and I know Drew Rosenhaus, he's a real snake in the grass, that agent. He's a mouthy guy as well. But, you know, they had this thing all ready to go. And then yesterday they come out and they give him an option for a second year at $20 million. So you can't tell me they didn't have this thing pretty much rigged. And because when I got off the air on Friday when I was out at Golf Mart in Carlsbad, I thought, you know, he'd apologize. We played the apology. And next thing you know, I wake up Saturday morning, he'd gotten released. And before I knew lunchtime, he'd signed with the New England Patriots. I thought that was pretty odd.
When do you think this deal was made, Coach?
I think there was probably a back room deal made somewhere along the line. Hey, Ronnie, thanks so much for the phone call. Rich Herrera, great job. Adam Klug, great job. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up next with Gwynn and Chris. Remember, tomorrow, Bob Stoops, Bob Scanlon. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.